Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we've been bringing these messages for 20 years now. And we praise the Lord for this day. We thank the Lord for all of the prayers, all of the provision for this radio station, and most of all for you, the listener. If this is your first time listening today, we thank you, we welcome you, we hope you come back each and every Sunday and make this a regular stop on your Sunday schedule. And for those of you who have been with us for many years, we thank you, we appreciate you, and we also hope you continue to tune in each and every Sunday for good messages from our Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the good news. Today we're going to be continuing our discussion on the Holy Spirit being poured out on the day of Pentecost. Last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, and so today we're going to be talking more about the Holy Spirit and that remarkable historic day there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, how it affects you today, what the impact of it is for you today. And so if you have your Bible there, turn it to Acts chapter 1. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Before we get into the message today, just want to give you a brief update what's going on in Africa. We have a big project on our plate over there. We're started on it already, continuing project to build a primary school there in Makunda Village. Right next door, we have an acre right next door to the children's home, and then another acre beside that that will be the playground or the football field for the school. And so we've started on the school project, got the septic system built, and we're getting ready now to put the foundations, the footings, and the floors on three separate buildings on this acre. And so it's going to be a primary school for 200 students, about 25 in each grade times 8 grades, and a preschool eventually. And so this is going to be a big project, and it will take about $300,000 to do this single story of three separate buildings with cafeteria and teacher's lounge, head teachers' headquarters, head teacher's office. So all of this is going to be a big project for this ministry. We hope you can get interested. We hope you can start to pray about it. And if you have any questions about it, email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. And if you want to make a contribution to help with this, we'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned to the end of this broadcast for contact information. Well, today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit being poured out. We started this subject last week on Pentecost Sunday, and so we're going to continue it today because I feel like it's very important. The Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of the living God, has been given to us to abide in us and with us. Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 14, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans." And so spiritually, you're not a spiritual orphan. Your earthly situation may have been difficult. Your earthly situation may have been unfortunate. Many, many children today come from divorced families, come from families where they didn't even know their father. And in many situations, a lot of pain in their childhood, a lot of dislocation in their family situation. But I want you to know that spiritually you are not an orphan. You have your Heavenly Father. You have Jesus Christ, who is called Everlasting Father. And you have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, to abide with you and in you if you are a born-again believer. And so you are not going to be an orphan, and you can change that situation today if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Ask Him to come into your life. Ask Him to save you and repent of your sins, and you can know that Jesus Christ is with you and the Holy Spirit is with you to guide you and to counsel you and to be your intercessor. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to look at this first chapter in Acts. We talked about it last week. This first chapter, Jesus is talking to the disciples. This is 40 days after the resurrection, 40 days after He was crucified and resurrected, 40 days later now, he has met them in Jerusalem, and he's giving them final instructions before leaving earth. So this is the last time that he speaks to them before he ascends into the clouds and goes to heaven to sit down at the right hand of God. And so he says in verse 4, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so John the Baptist prophesied this back at the Jordan River. He said, there's one coming after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so John the Baptist was prophesying about Jesus Christ, and he was saying he's going to be the baptizer of the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so he had told the people there at the Jordan River so that they would know that John was himself the forerunner of Jesus Christ, that he was one who was crying in the wilderness, and he was the forerunner and making the way for the Messiah who was yet to come. And shortly after that, Jesus himself came to John the Baptist, asked John to baptize him in the Jordan River, and John said, you're asking me to baptize you? I should be asking you to baptize me. And Jesus said, let this be done to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, Jesus said, this is about the righteousness of God, the kingdom of God coming to earth. And he asked John to baptize him, and John did. Out of obedience, he baptized Jesus Christ, and the heavens opened up, and God spoke and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then the dove came, the Holy Spirit of God came and rested on Jesus Christ, and that was the beginning of his ministry. And so Jesus is now 40 days after the resurrection. He's talking to the disciples. He's saying that the promise of the Father will come to you. And Jesus had told the disciples that the Father was going to give them the Holy Spirit, Jesus would baptize them with the Holy Spirit, and that all they had to do was wait in Jerusalem. And it turned out it was 10 days to the day of Pentecost. It was 10 days after Jesus is speaking to them right now, and he tells them, be patient and wait. The promise is coming, and sure enough, the promise came just like Jesus said that it would. And just as Jesus promises us, he says, if you ask in my name, whatever you ask for, it shall be given unto you. And so the promise of the Father was given in Jesus' name. The promise of the Father is available to you. Pentecost was a historical event. There's no question about that. It was an event recorded by Luke in the Bible, and so we know it was a historically accurate event. But also beyond that, and praise God for that, you can have your own personal Pentecost. You can receive the Holy Spirit to baptize you, and you receive that fire to ignite you, to propel you, to move you into ministry, to move you into a higher stage with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, with God the Father, into a higher place. He wants to take you higher. He wants to take you up into your destiny and into your own personal calling. Well, Jesus goes on to say in verse 7, he said, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. I want to comment on that just a minute. Don't spend your time worrying about when Jesus is coming back or trying to predict when Jesus is coming back. There are things in the kingdom realm. There are events here on this earth, and there are times and seasons here on this earth that are out of your authority. They're out of your domain. So don't waste your time trying to pinpoint the day Jesus is coming back. You don't know. In fact, Jesus has has said that I don't even know myself when I'm coming back. Only the Father knows. And so if it's not revealed to Jesus Christ, it's not going to be revealed to you. And so don't waste your time trying to figure out when Jesus is coming back. We are in the time of Matthew 24:14. We're in the time of evangelism. And that is the time, the Bible says, and it is a time to preach the gospel to all the nations as a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. So it is a time of evangelism. It is time to speak the truth of the gospel to people all over the world. It is the time to use the radio. It is the time to use television. It is the time to use the internet, Facebook, Instagram, whatever social media you have. Preach the gospel and spread the good news of the gospel to people all over the earth as a witness to the nations, and then the end shall come. So don't go into the book of Revelation and say, oh, tomorrow this is going to happen, or today this is happening, or some vaccine is the mark of the beast. No, we're in the time of evangelism. What you see with your own eyes is a type and shadow. What you see happening, the events on the earth, is a type and shadow of what will come in the book of Revelation. But we're not there yet. If anything, in the book of Revelation, we're through the first three chapters, and that's about it. And so don't get hung up in chapter 13 or chapter 16 or chapter 17. Say, oh, Henny Penny, the sky is falling. No, the sky isn't falling. We're in the time of evangelism. It's a time for you to come out of the cave. It's a time for you to get excited about spreading the gospel. If you are a born-again believer, share what you know about Jesus Christ. And you say, well, Jim, I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not an apostle or a prophet or whatever. If you have a testimony, you can share the good news of the gospel. If you have a testimony, and if you don't have a testimony, then you're not saved. If you have a testimony, you can share the good news of the gospel. You can tell other people how Jesus Christ has affected your life. You can tell other people how you have been blessed by walking with Jesus Christ and having the Holy Spirit with you to guide you, to counsel you, to give you wisdom, to intercede for you. You can share that. Wherever you go, you can be a light to your family. You can be a light to your husband or husband. You can be a light to your wife and to the people in your workplace. Wherever you go, you can share the good news of the gospel. And that is God's will for you, to be a witness. And so don't get hung up in the book of Revelation. Study it so you know it. Be prepared. Watch and pray. Sit on the wall. Prophesy, whatever it is God calls you to do, be prepared. Occupy till he comes back. But in the meantime, be an evangelist, be a witness, take the good news of the gospel wherever God calls you to go. Well, in verse 8, then, I want to focus on this verse here for just a minute. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. And so that is God's will for you, for all born-again believers. That is God's will, that you be a witness, that you share the good news of the gospel, and that you tell people about Jesus Christ. And first in Jerusalem, that's your home place, that's your home village, your home neighborhood. Then in Judea, that's a place down the road, not too far away. Then in Samaria, that's a place of a different culture. You might go on a short-term mission trip to Mexico. You might go on a short-term mission trip to an indigenous native people's reservation. You might go on a mission trip to an inner city workplace, or to help people recover from storms. So that is Samaria, a place of a different culture. And then to the remotest part of the earth, when you really commit yourself to the gospel, when you really commit yourself to taking the gospel, the good news of the gospel, to people across the earth. You say, Lord, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. I'm not going to tell you where I want to go. I'm not going to tell you where you should send me. I'm just saying, Lord, here am I, send me. And beloved, when you do that, you don't know where the Lord might send you. You don't know how the Lord might use you. But be prepared, because it's going to be a surprise to you when you really submit yourself to God and you really lay down your life, you really deny yourself, and you pick up your cross and you say, Jesus, here am I. I'm ready to serve you. I'm ready to do what you ask me to do. And so again, Jesus says, you're going to be sent to the far ends of the earth, to the remotest parts of the earth. And beloved, I have been in 6 countries in Africa, not to boast, I'm just telling you a story. And one of the places I've gone to several times is the Democratic Republic of Congo. Been over there about 5 times to preach crusades, do church revivals. And one time we flew in to Butembo in northeast Congo. You can look it up on the map. Not too far from Uganda, not too far from Goma, the capital city of East Congo. And so in this place of Butembo, we came in there on Busy Bee Airline, about 10 of us riding in this little airplane, flew in there, lit on a dirt runway, and found out in this city there were 700,000 people, many of them refugees, fleeing from the rebel activity in East Congo. There was 700,000 people in this city and not one paved road in all of Butembo. Well, we had some great meetings there, church meetings, church revivals, prayed and visited in the prison and preached to people in a prison. And so God blessed me even in this place, the remotest part of the earth. And so God is true to his promise. Wherever you go to share the good news, the Holy Spirit will be with you. He will give you that fire. He will give you that power. And you will have that dunamis power, that dynamite power, to share the good news of the gospel wherever in the earth God sends you to preach. Well, verse 1 in chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. They had unity of mind. There was about 120 people in this room. 120 people had waited, just as Jesus instructed them to do. They are of one accord, one mind, one purpose. Wouldn't it be great if every church that met today had that same attitude and that same idea about themselves? We're here in one mind, we're here in one accord, we're here in one purpose. And so this is what happened then at the day of Pentecost. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Well, this fire that rested on them, it was the same fire that had been in the burning bush out there in the Midian desert when Moses was out there tending the sheep. That same fire that appeared to him, it didn't consume the bush. And Moses knew that he was standing in the presence of Almighty God. In fact, the Lord spoke to Moses and said, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground. It's the same fire that led the children of Israel through the wilderness for 40 years. Fire by night, cloud by day. They didn't get lost, their shoes didn't wear out. They had manna to eat. The Lord protected them, he guided them, he guarded them for 40 years. That same fire led them to the Jordan River, and they eventually crossed in to the nation of Israel, or to Canaan, and replaced all of the wicked tribes of Canaan. That same fire that comes, for our God is a consuming fire. He is a jealous God. When you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, You will not continue to sin in the way you do now. You will not be comfortable sinning in the way you do now. The fire purifies you. The fire burns out the dross, just like when you put fire to metal, to iron ore or to gold ore or to any kind of metal. It burns out the impurities and leaves you with that pure ore, that pure gold, that pure silver. And the fire of the Holy Spirit will do the same with you. It will purify you. It will prepare you for ministry. It will prepare you to go to the nations. It will open up the doors to the remotest parts of the earth for you. And so that fire rested on each one of them. Have another short story to tell you. I preached a crusade in Kibera in Nairobi, the biggest slum in Africa, they say. Is about 300,000 people in Kibera in Nairobi, a wretched place. Very, very few people have any amenities there. They're just little sheet iron shacks and not much of any kind of luxury or amenities. We did a five-day crusade there in 2011, and the first night I was there, I got into the car, into the taxi to take me home after the first night of the crusade, and the taxi driver told me, I was watching that crusade, he said, and I saw tongues of fire. The Lord opened up my spiritual eyes, and I saw tongues of fire resting on each one of those people who had come forward to the altar. I saw tongues of fire resting on them just as it was spoken, and it occurred in the second chapter of Acts. And so the fire is real in the spiritual sense. It comes, it rests on people, and it starts to transform them, starts to purify them, and it starts to anoint them with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So the people who received the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost, they started to speak in other languages. And the reason that they did that was that there was many, many thousands of people out there on the day of Pentecost. Jews from all over the world had come back. They list 16 different nations here, 16 different tribes of people that have come back, and they were all hearing the gospel message in their own language. And so they were bewildered. They were wondering, what is going on here? We hear all these strange languages, all these utterances of tongues, and we hear in our own language this explanation and the good news of the gospel. And so they heard these Israelites, these people from Galilee, they heard them speaking all these different languages, and they came to the conclusion that they were full of sweet wine. In Acts chapter 2, verse 13, it says they were mocking and saying, these people are full of sweet wine. Well, Peter, the apostle, he stands up and he then explains what is going on. Peter, taking his stand with the 11, he raised his voice and he declared to them, men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. These men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And then Peter starts to recite this prophecy that the prophet Joel gave 800 years before this day in Jerusalem. The prophet Joel had said, it shall be in the last days, God said, that I will pour forth my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, praise God for that. Peter knew the Old Testament scripture and he spoke it. God give him revelation about this day, the day of Pentecost, is the day that the prophet Joel had prophesied about and spoke about 800 years before. Well, Peter starts to preach to these people. There were many, many thousands there. He starts to preach to them, tell them about Jesus Christ, tell them about the blessings of salvation, the inheritance of salvation. And so when Peter finished speaking to them, verse 37, it says, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. And so, verse 41, those who had received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. Well, beloved, what a great and beautiful and powerful story that is. You can have your own Pentecost if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I hope today that you're pierced to the heart. I hope today that you humble yourself before the Lord, that you repent, and that you find then a place to be baptized. Go to some Bible-believing church that believes in water baptism. Confess your sins to an elder. Confess your sin to a pastor. Confess your sins to somebody, another believer, and then go find a place to be baptized. If you don't know how to do all of that, email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we can help you get it done. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have you support that school project over in Kenya, or just support this radio broadcast. You can contact us, Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654, or you can go to PayPal, paypal.me/GatherTheOutcast. You can also go to our website, GatherTheOutcast.com, make a donation with your debit or your credit card. We love to hear from you. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.